Good morning, church. Children may head up if you'd like. Now, that was like the perfect introduction to what the Lord told me to bring today. We're going to be talking about, as we walk in the Lord's blessings, as how we can walk in His blessings. And to walk in His blessings, I think that we need to know who He is. And that question that He asked the disciples, He asks us today, who do you say that I am? Do we really know who Jesus is? Do we know? Do we have an answer for that? I think maybe when Jesus asked that question to the disciples, some of them may have hung their head and not said a thing. They may not have known yet who Jesus was. But Peter knew. He said, "You are the Christ. You're the Messiah." He said, "You're the guy we've been looking for." And he knew who Jesus was. So as we prepare our hearts to look at walking in His blessings today, I think that was just a perfect introduction to what we're going to talk about today. And I may even start there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You that we know You. Thank You, Father, that You've made a way for us to know who You are. That because of a love relationship that we have with You, Father, we can walk in Your blessings. We can understand and learn who You are, what You mean to us, and how much You love us. So, Father, I ask You to speak through me this morning, Lord, that I won't get in Your way, but that You'll use me as Your mouthpiece. Father, that as we go this week, Father, that we'll be Your hands and feet and take Your mission to the world. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's just go to Matthew 16, where Matt was, and we'll start there. Matthew 16, beginning of verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Well, some say You're John the Baptist, others say Elijah. Still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." So, obviously, they were wondering who Jesus is. And then he goes on to say, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? And that's the question that I'm asking today to you. Who do you say that Jesus is? What does He mean to you? Is He a big part of your life or a little part of your life? Who do you say He is? If somebody asks you, "Who is Jesus?" What do you say? I mean, most people, I don't have people that come up and ask me that. But have you ever thought about it? What would you say if somebody asked you, "Who's Jesus?" Well, Peter, he right away said, "You're the Christ," or "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by My Father in heaven." And the same thing is true for us today. It's not man that tells us who Jesus is, but we learn who He is from the Holy Spirit. As we spend time in the Word, we learn who Jesus is. It's not something that you just know right off the bat. You have to learn who Jesus is. And then he goes on to say, I'll tell you, you are Peter, and Peter means rock, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. We learned in Sunday school this morning that we have a spiritual battle, and we've been talking about temptation and how we don't have to give in to temptation. You know, Jesus walked the earth 33 years, I guess. And he was tempted like we are. And if you think about this, it's astounding. He was tempted like we are, but never sinned. And as you know, that sometimes when we're tempted, we give in to it. We try to mature as we get older in the Christian faith. We try to get away from yielding to temptation, but Satan puts a desire in us, or he talks to us about a desire that we have and tells us that maybe it's not so bad. Puts doubt in our minds, tries to deceive us, and then it's up to us to make the right decision, isn't it? Because we can't get away from temptation. We know that it's a part of life. It's a part of life and part of what we do. And so as we get to know Jesus, and as we get to walk with him and learn of his ways, how then do we walk in his blessings? How do we walk in his blessings? And that's what he wants to share with us today, is how to walk in his blessings. I have been totally blessed because I have Christian background. I have Christian parents. I have Christian grandparents. As far back as I can trace my family, they walked with God. So that gives me an advantage in spiritual blessings. Some of you don't have that. Some of you did not grow up in the church, didn't grow up in a Christian family. But you can still walk in the blessings of God. And so we want to look at that today. Let's start in Numbers chapter 6. I have used this scripture quite often in the end of services. You've heard me use this. It's actually a priestly blessing that the Lord told Moses to have Aaron and his sons, which were the Levites. They were the priests of the day. They're the ones who consecrated people to come before the Lord. And they had a blessing that they were to share with the Israelites. And this is one that I have used for the church as well. And it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. We can find all through scriptures where people spoke their blessing on Christians, where the leaders of the church spoke their blessings on Christians. And that's one of the reasons that I've used this for the church, is because I want you to have the Lord's blessings. I want you to walk in his blessings, and I want you to know how to do that. So as we go from there, let's go to Chronicles now, 2 Chronicles. I want to look at some of the... This is where I've been spending my daily Bible readings, is in the Chronicles in the last few weeks. And I've noticed in the Chronicles that it talks about a lot of different kings. And as you begin with each king, it says, and he was king for so many years, and he walked with God, or he did evil in the eyes of the Lord. One or the other. With every king, it talks about that. And it also goes on in each of their lives. It tells what happened, what they did. The ones who walked with God walked in His blessing. Solomon is probably the biggest example of that. You've heard me use that before. I'm actually not going to use Solomon this morning, but he's probably the greatest example of a king who was blessed by the Lord because of his humility, because he didn't ask for riches and fame, but he asked for wisdom and knowledge so that he could judge, so that he could judge these people and take care of the problems that arose. And so God said to Solomon, because you haven't asked for these, but you've asked for wisdom and knowledge, I'm going to give you riches and fame as well. Solomon was one of the most famous kings that ever walked the earth. There was people came from other countries just to visit him because they heard of his wisdom. Can you imagine? We don't hear of a lot of people coming to see our president, do we? But yeah, they came from miles around. We're going to begin in 2 Chronicles. I'd like to talk about Hezekiah first. So let's go to 29. 2 Chronicles 29. Hezekiah, it begins there in the first verse of 29. It says he was 25 years old when he became king. If you can imagine any of you guys that are youngsters being a king when you're 25, leading a country, leading a people. I mean, the Israelites were were lots of people. There was millions of them. And 25 years old, and we're going to see that some of them were a lot younger than that as they came to be king. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. So Hezekiah apparently had some pretty good upbringing. And I'm not sure why it uses the mother. Most of the kings, it talks about their mother. It always gives the mother's name and who she was for the kings. And there's something to be said about that. And our mothers are a pretty important part of our life. Our wives are a pretty important part of our life. They keep us straight, don't they? So, as Hezekiah was walking through his life, over in chapter 30, verse 1, he says, Hezekiah sent word to all Israel and Judah, also wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh, inviting them to come to the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem and celebrate the Passover to the Lord, the God of Israel. The king and his officials and the whole assembly in Jerusalem decided to celebrate the Passover in the second month. They had not been able to celebrate it at a regular time because not enough priests had consecrated themselves and the people had not assembled in Jerusalem. So apparently the king who was ahead of Hezekiah didn't walk with the Lord, and so things were not as they should have been. The priests hadn't consecrated enough people to even assemble the people and take them so that they could have the Passover together. And so Hezekiah is making this happen. Plan seemed right to both the king and the whole assembly, and they decided to send a proclamation throughout Israel from Beersheba to Dan, calling the people to come to Jerusalem and celebrate the Passover to the Lord, the God of Israel. It had not been celebrated in large numbers according to what was written. At the king's command, couriers went throughout Israel and Judah with letters from the king and from his officials, which read, "People of Israel, return to the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, that he may return to you who are left, who have escaped from the hand of the kings of Assyria. do not be like your fathers and brothers who were unfaithful to the Lord, the God of their fathers, so that he made them an object of horror as you see. Do not be stiff-necked as your fathers were. Submit to the Lord. Come to the sanctuary which he has consecrated forever. Serve the Lord your God so that his fierce anger will turn away from you. So Hezekiah knew what had to be done, didn't he? He knew what had to be done to receive the Lord's blessing. And so they actually sent out this letter to the people so that everyone would come. And then he goes on in verse 9, he says, if you return to the Lord, then your brothers and your children will be shown compassion by their captors and will come back to this land, for the Lord your God is gracious and compassionate. He will not turn his face from you if you return to him. So that's why that part of the blessing, that priestly blessing that I read to you, that he'll turn his face toward you. There was something to be said about whether Jesus turned his face toward you or away from you. You all know the story of Moses when he was face to face with the Lord. He always came back with a glow. We don't have any idea how brilliant God is, do we? How much he glows. It says we're not going to need any light when we get to heaven because of the Father's brilliance. It's going to be bright. And Moses had to cover up his face when he came back because he was glowing. He had the brilliance of God. After he talked face to face with the Father, he had that brilliance, that glow. And so it says there at the end of that verse, he will not turn his face from you if you return to him. And then the rest of these verses, it just goes on and talks about Hezekiah and what all he did for the Israelites. And over at the end of chapter 31, in verse 20, it says, this is what Hezekiah did throughout Judah, doing what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God. In everything that he undertook in the service of God's temple and in obedience to the law and the commands, he sought his God and worked wholeheartedly, and so he prospered. And so he's prospered. We've talked about a lot of times tithing. I'm not really going to get into tithing this morning, but I can tell you from experience, from tithing, that God has blessed us financially because we tithe. There's Matt, Jesse, Matt, any of you who tithe a tenth of your income know that God, I'll just put it this way, it is a lot easier to live on in the 90% than it ever was on the 100%. If you've ever tried to live without tithing, you'll understand the principle. And most of you do understand it, and thank God for that. That's how the church is blessed, through the tithe. And as you know, it takes money to operate a church. And thank God that Matt says, thank God we don't have to worry about the finances here. You people are doing well in your tithing, and we thank you for that. But because he has asked us for a tenth, when we're obedient in that, then you'll prosper. He will prosper you in that. And I would say that if any of you are struggling financially, begin to tithe, and it will take your struggle away because of God's faithfulness. He is very, very faithful to do what he says. And he tells us in his word that if we'll bring a tithe, he'll pour out the blessings so much blessings that we won't be able to contain, and that's pretty awesome, isn't it? That's pretty awesome. I want to go on over now to chapter 33 and talk to you about Manasseh. Manasseh was also a king in Israel. Beginning in verse 1 of 33, it says he was 12 years old when he became king. And are there any 12-year-olds in here? Are all of them upstairs? They're 12 years old. Can you guys imagine being a king? Okay, you're both guys. Says, sure, I can imagine that. Leading the country. Okay, that's what he did. When he was 12 years old, he reigned in Jerusalem 55 years. So, from the time he was 12 till he was 77, is that added right? 67. There we go. 55 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the detestable practices of the nations that the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. So he rebuilt the high places. He was into idolatry. Just was leading the children of Israel astray during the 55 years that he was a king there. Let's go on. It says he rebuilt the high places that his father Hezekiah had torn down. He also erected altars to the Baals. He made Asherah poles. He bowed down to all the starry hosts and worshipped them. He built altars in the temple of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, "My name will remain in Jerusalem forever." In both courts of the temple of the Lord, he built altars to all the starry hosts. He sacrificed his sons in the fire in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, practiced sorcery, divination, and witchcraft, consulted mediums and spiritists, and he did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, provoking him to anger. So, wasn't a good thing. Not walking with the Lord. I'm not going to read the whole account of Manasseh, but just to let you know that all of the kings weren't blessed by God. Just because they were leading the children of Israel, it doesn't mean that they could walk in sin or walk in their evil ways and that God would bless them. He did not bless them during that time. Now let's go over to chapter 34 in 2 Chronicles. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. So he was 4 years younger than you guys. He would have just been a little guy. 8 years old. But verse 2 says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, I missed it. He reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. But he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek God, the God of his father David, and in his 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, Asherah poles, carved idols, and cast images. Most of the things that are mentioned about the kings is whether they walked with God or served idols. So it was about who God was in their life. And that's why I started out with this morning with the first thing we need to know to seek God's blessing is who He is. We need to know who He is. We need to establish in our minds, who am I going to serve? For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But he began to break down the altars and Asherah poles and burned them. Broke them to pieces and scattered over the graves of those who had sacrificed them. He burned the bones of the priests on their altars and So he purged Judah and Jerusalem. It's amazing, isn't it? How whether someone, whether a king, walked with the Lord determined how the Lord blessed him. And let's go to Psalms chapter 1 now. I don't know if any of you remember Psalms 1 or if you ever memorized it. It was one of the Psalms that we memorized when we were youngsters. And it talks about the Lord's blessing in Psalm 1. It says there, "Blessed is the man," or "blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked, they are like the chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." So he's telling us as Christians that as we walk with him, as we walk away from sin, that we'll be blessed. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, but says his delight is in the law of the Lord. So we have to know who God is. So I thought, well, if I'm going to talk about blessed is the man, I also need to talk about how blessed a woman is. So let's go over now to finish up in Proverbs chapter 31. This talks about a woman of noble character, a wife of noble character. And it talked about all of the king's mothers. There in Chronicles, when it talked about the kings, it always mentioned their mothers. And as you go down through these verses, you'll understand how important a woman of God is in a family. How important you women are in our families. A wife of noble character, it says, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. And she gets up while it's still dark, provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously, and her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees her trading as is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear of her household. For them, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. It's clothed in fine linen and purple. And her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom. Faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. And her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but it says that you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Pretty good way to end, isn't it, today? We talked about there in Psalms how the man of God is blessed, and this talks about the woman of God, the woman that walks with God, that has noble character, has good integrity, how she is blessed by the Lord. So, to walk in the Lord's blessing, we have to be obedient to the Father. We have to walk in obedience. We have to spend time in the Word and learn what the Father wants. Learn how to walk with Him. How to be obedient. But there are a lot of blessings, and I didn't go through and list them all. You'll go through the Bible and look at all the promises for His blessings. You'll find it astounding. He really cares about us. He really cares what happens to us. And wants to bless us. So we need to learn to walk in obedience to Him so that we can walk in His blessings. If anybody needs prayer this morning, we'd love to have you come up and pray with us. The praise team will come and do a last song for us. If there's anybody here who has never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you'd like to do that this morning, we'll give you opportunity to come for that. Say, I would like to be a child of God. I would like to walk in His ways. And make a decision to walk with Him for the rest of your day. Well, we'd love to help you with that. Doing anything that you need, just tell me. Elders will be here.